webcasting to the world.
Do you remember the moment that you saw yourself in God and God in you, and you were one with the universe and God and everybody?
Knowing the truth about the gospel.
You were one with the prostitutes and pimps and priests and kings, and there was nobody on earth that was better than you nor less than you.
That we are all righteous.
And no one on earth was any less in Christ than anyone else.
That's Mike Williams, and this is the Gospel Revolution. And now, here's Glenn Klein online.
World. It's a historic night, as it always is, as we come to you to the midweek edition of Glenn Klein Online. Welcome in. We are glad to have you with us as we talk about all things gospel, all things good news. Anything that's on your mind, feel free to jump on board. We've got Sean O'Halloran in studio in the Tampa Bay studio of Glenn Klein Online at 1-800-436-3260. We got a lot to get to tonight. Hope you are ready for the ride. 1-800-436-3260. And now coming to us live from the home offices of the Gospel Revolution with a full house. Jacks over kings, or something, or maybe queens over kings. Please welcome Mr. Michael Williams. Michael!
Hey, Glenn. Good evening.
You have a full house, don't you?
I do have a full house, and it's a very wonderful experience, actually. So, you know, this I'm usually here. Before Jeff got here, it was just me, and now that Jeff is working for the ministry and doing the administrating and helping me write the book, he's been here for a few months, and now Jeff and Kate has arrived, and it's just like a big old house full of people. So
we have Jeff and Kate Benham from... Well, they're from Australia. You've heard them the last couple of weeks on the webcast. First in Tampa, in studio, with George and Bonnie Howell, remember? And then last week, Kate was recording her album in Nashville. We mm-hmm. got to talk to Jeff and Kate as they recorded there. And now they've made it their way to Houston.
Absolutely.
They are on the Grace and Peace Tour 2010.
and I think they're enjoying it thoroughly, for sure. I know we're enjoying their company. I'm glad to have them here in my home. It's just been fantastic.
Well, we are going to get to Kate and Jeff and to your calls, hopefully. We want to hear from you. If you're listening live and it's just a couple minutes after 9 o'clock on the East Coast of the United States of America, that is your cue to call 1-800-436-3260, 1-800-436-3260. This is an historic day in the U.S. of A. in many ways. Not only are we coming to you with a fresh edition of Glenn Klein Online, but also we are very pleased to be living in a country where the Constitution is still being manifested and where a semblance of freedom is still being represented. This is a huge deal for those that believe in the equality of all people, regardless of race or sex or religion or national origin or sexual orientation. The U.S. District Court in California today, Michael, overthrew the anti-gay marriage ban in the great state of California. That happened today.
Yes,
and
they sure
our
did.
Post noted on the email that while we talk about marriage, because it is a very vital human issue, marriage not being a gospel issue, the ruling of the judge and the whole way this whole thing came about, and we're going to talk about that for a few moments here, is a representation or of a manifestation, if you will, of people recognizing that human beings, regardless of their, in this case, sexual orientation, are liable to be treated equally according to the law of the country. That's a good thing.
That's a good thing. I think the bigger picture for me too, Glenn, is that we got a good lesson of trying to legislate by population and public opinion. They passed this law based on how many people voted for it, and that's just not the way we make laws in America. We elect people. We don't offer votes to decide on people's rights. We offer votes for those who will represent us. And from the very beginning, I told Jeff and Kate just day before yesterday that this would definitely be repealed. If it were not, I mean, our Constitution itself would have been in great jeopardy. Whether anybody agrees with the issue of marriage or not, for the gay community is absolutely irrelevant. The issue was, is our Constitution going to stand here? And instead of a mob rule, which is what California tried to do, is to rule by mob rule, which is what a pure democracy actually is. But we are a republic, and our democracy is for the election of our officials, not to decide who has rights and who doesn't.
That's exactly right. And that's something that people that are listening around the globe may not understand. The United States is a republic. It's a representative republic, which means that the people vote in representatives, and they make the laws.
Absolutely.
And then the people can approach the judicial branch of the government. There's three branches. It's an interesting number there, three branches. The executive branch, represented federally by the president, statewide by the gubernatorial office. And then we have the legislative branch, which is those are the ones that pass the laws and raise the taxes and do like that. And then the judiciary that decides if something is valid, if something is legal, if it's constitutional.
Right.
Well, California, a long time ago, abrogated their responsibility, the representatives did, because then the people can't hold their feet to the fire in elections. So they literally pass off the responsibility of voting on these, granted, controversial decisions. There's another big one coming in California in November called Proposition 19. They're going to have the people vote as to whether marijuana should be made legal or not. The people.
Yeah.
And I 100% agree with Michael that this is a constitutional issue. This is an issue of how this government operates and runs most efficiently and has historically run. But having said that, and I agree with you about the issue of the Republican nature of government in this country, I think the more important thing is the fact that the law that the mob did pass, the majority of people passed, and by the way, the polls now in California show that, as opposed to what happened just a couple of years ago when California had marriage for gay and lesbian people for a short period of time, the opponents of gay marriage got it on a ballot in a referendum, Proposition 8, and it was voted that gay marriage should not be allowed in California. I think that the ruling by the judge, and or the judges, plural, there in the district court, this is going to eventually make it to the Supreme Court,
yes, of course,
which is the law of the federal government, which every state has to abide by. I think, Michael, in my humble opinion, that the ruling equating gay and lesbian people to straight people and everybody else, therefore, is monumental.
Yeah.
And it's a huge statement. And what's even perhaps more profound, and if you follow the news at all and you're over 20 years old, you will remember that in the year 2000 we had a contested election for the presidency in this country.
Mm-hmm.
And that it all came down to the vote here in the great state of Florida. And there were two men that represented Al Gore, who was the sitting vice president at the time, and at the time Governor George W. Bush from Texas. One was named was Ted Olson, who represented Bush. Another was named David Boies, who represented Al Gore before the Supreme Court. Now, the Supreme Court ruled in favor of George W. Bush. In other words, Ted Olson won that case.
Yeah.
But during that entire episode, Boies and Olson got to know each other and became friends and talked about the fact that they actually would like to be on the same team and talked about the fact that there would be a day when somebody would come to them who were gay who wanted to get married. And they talked about this in the year 2000. And here are two people, one a Republican, one a Democrat, one a conservative, one a liberal, Michael, who came together to represent all the people of the country. This is a huge positive step forward in the history of the United States. I cannot overstate the importance of this decision and this moment. We'll see what the Supreme Court does ultimately. I cannot imagine if it comes down to a Supreme Court ruling that they would not side with equality for all people, regardless of their sexuality. But tonight, in this August evening in 2010, it's a pretty big moment for people that care that people are treated equally and are seen as our Constitution says, and or the Declaration of Independence says, created by their or endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights, and among them life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. This is a big moment.
Oh, it definitely is, and I don't think there's any, I have no hesitation in saying it definitely will go to the Supreme Court. And right now, conservatives to liberals, it's a 5-4 court with conservatives in the commanding lead. But as you pointed out, Glenn, we had staunch conservatives as the attorneys battling for this. So this crack in this horrible discrimination is, I think it's about to end. I and thank God in California they are rejoicing that the Constitution is real and that it is effective, and that even though California legislators want to advocate their responsibility and pass it off onto all of these stupid propositions, the whole thing to me is just ridiculous. I mean, these people are supposed to be their legislators and not fail to legislate. And because they are unpopular decisions, they think they can put it to a public vote. They know it's not even constitutional to do it. You don't vote on somebody else's rights. That is not what happens in this country. But thank God, whether it's a proposition that's voted on by the public or passed by a state legislature, thank goodness it can still go to the Supreme Court. But these dudes didn't even want their name on it one way or the other for political expediency. They passed it off onto the public. They knew where it would go. They knew that these propositions will be challenged about their constitutionality, and I think they knew it would be unconstitutional in the beginning, but that they didn't have the political will to do it themselves. They passed it off onto the public.
Right, and it's also one of the reasons, because California has approached government in this very un-American way, governmentally, this is one of the reasons that the state of California is in one of the worst shapes of any state in the country, because they keep abrogating their legislative responsibility to the public. And that's not how this deal was set up.
No, and so, in fact, it was
we're
set
very
up
happy
specifically
and, by the
to
way,
avoid that.
Ted Olson was asked today, and by the way, Ted Olson's wife, Barbara Olson, was killed on 9/11 in one of the planes that was hijacked by the terrorists. And he was asked, he's a very conservative Republican, was a solicitor general for George Bush, and he was asked, he said, what are all your conservative friends going to say about this opinion? And he said, I haven't had a chance to talk to them yet because I've been so busy with this.
Yeah,
he could not be a better spokesman. If you've seen him on CNN or on any of the news channels, he could not be a better spokesman for this issue and for equality for all people.
No, it really was.
He speaks very eloquently and very powerfully. And remember, he will undoubtedly be the one that will be making that argument
yes.
to what presumably would be a 5-4 conservative court in the Supreme Court of the United States. So it's a big day. It's a big deal for those of us that love everybody and want to see everybody treated equal and believe that everybody's equal regardless of their race or their sex or their sexual orientation.
Yeah.
And so we're pretty geeked about it. I saw it come on the news. I got goosebumps immediately, and I was very privileged to be able to be the first to notify Michael that that had happened. And I could not be more proud of Ted Olson and David Boyce and all the people that have gone through so much in trying to have their own say in our system and to have equal rights be manifested.
It's a beautiful day for freedom.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly right. It's a good day for freedom. This is Glenn Klein Online. It's Gospel Revolution Wednesday night. We're going to be talking specifically about the gospel. We're going to be talking to Kate and Jeff Benham from Australia, who are in Houston, Texas, as we speak. We're waiting to take your calls, too, at 1-800-436-3260. 1-800-436-3260. We are in favor of any legislation, of any rule, of any stamp of approval that says all people are created equal. Equal
yeah.
in the eyes of God. And not only are they created equal, Michael, they were redeemed equally. They were
yeah.
saved equally. There is no separation between any human being that has walked the face of the earth or that is walking the face of the earth or that will walk the face of the earth between them and any person that calls himself a believer or a Christian or a saint or a minister or a reverend or a pope or a nun or a rabbi or imam, everybody is equal in the sight of God.
Yeah, and you know, the thing that appropriated that, talk about things being done in a proper manner, for that to actually be, you see, the entire human race had to become extinct. And there was an extinction that took place of Adam 2,000 years ago. An entire human race was wiped off the face of the earth. That human being that was created a little lower than the angels in the order of creation, God being at the top tier and angels being in the second tier, and man being created in the third tier, that creation that was in the third tier, and then, of course, it goes on down from there to animals and all the way down. But creation was interrupted, and God destroyed the entire human race in the body of one man, the last Adam. God literally destroyed the man he was angry with. He did not only destroy sin, he destroyed the body of sin. He destroyed the man that the entire world that there would have been any problem with, the entire creation. One of the most powerful things that I'm beginning to understand is that the power of this new creation, that we are a species that has never existed on the face of planet Earth, because we are not any longer in that third tier as God created the human race many thousands of years ago, however long anybody wants to believe it. But there was an order, and that order by creation order was interrupted 2,000 years ago. The entire human race was destroyed. And the entire human race was raised again and brought to a position that the human race had never known, and that is in equality with God himself.
That's pretty good news.
That's good news.
Yeah, that is good news. And we have grappled with the whole issue of the anger of God. A lot of people who are contemplating the gospel or contemplating the reality of Christ have come to the conclusion that God never was angry
yeah.
with the human race. and that this was all a figment of Adam and Eve and therefore their offspring's imagination. We don't agree with that perspective necessarily.
No, and here's the thing, Glenn, because that the reality is so opposite to that now. You see, without being able to see the incredible, and without being able to see the destruction of the entire human race at the cross, you see, that's why people cannot follow the process that came to the point to where that God was no longer angry anymore. Because on this side of the cross, it is obvious that God is not angry, even though ignorance, such as Pat Robertson still acclaims this, and other religions around the world, every time there's a disaster. But there is no targeted group, as they would like for you to think, in these natural disasters, and they are natural disasters. People from all walks of life are wiped out. When the 250,000 people were wiped out in the Indian Ocean, people of every race, creed, color, belief, non-belief were all affected by that. And but you see, without being able to see that the race, the entire race that God was angry with, no longer exists. You see, they try to extrapolate that back. And they cannot picture the anger or the wrath of God. But you see, we've got to accept that God was angry with a creation that no longer exists. We are not even of Adam anymore. We are a new creation.
One could say we never were of Adam.
We never were, absolutely, after the cross. We never were of Adam. And, you know, the people, the only people who have known Christ, been in Christ, and also been of Adam, were those who were alive when Jesus died on the cross. That group of people knew both sides of this issue. It's the only generation that's ever known both sides of the issue. They knew what it was to be of Adam. They also knew whether they understood it or not, the transition of this incredible gospel of peace and gospel of grace that was delivered not to the old man, not to the first Adam or any of Adam's descendants. This new covenant was made to a new people, a group of people, a people that never existed before. So, you see, God did not just destroy sin, he destroyed the body of sin, according to Paul's teaching. And that is just, I mean, it's just like the depth and the ability to perceive this is growing almost by the moment amongst anybody who's carrying on any discussions about this whatsoever. So we have got to embrace this incredible reality of the fact that this is a new creation. I remember, goodness, 15 years ago, trying to present that this is a species that has never existed before. It is a species. We are a species that has never existed before by virtue of creation order. By virtue of creation order, we are no longer under the angelic realm. We have been literally made one with God. When God created Adam, Adam was created in God's image. Folks, we're not in God's image anymore. We are one with God. We are not a replica. We don't look like God. We are one with God.
Somebody's listening in the background there.
Yeah.
We can hear the echo on the computer, whoever's listening there.
You almost said
we are one with God. I mean, that we are God.
Yeah.
You're holding back on that one, eh?
Yes. And here's the thing. The book of Psalms says, ye are gods. Isaiah said, "You're gods." Jesus quoted the Psalms and says, "Ye are gods," and was trying to get this concept of being one with God and equality with God as actually being God. Now, that freaks people out. That's why I'm skirting the issue a bit, but I appreciate you addressing my skirting it.
Right, well, that's my job, Michael.
I know. Yeah, that's when I say, damn you.
Damn your hide.
That's right. But in the most loving way, I say, damn you. But, folks, that's what we have to come to grips with, is this oneness with God. You are not waiting for God to do anything. You are the one in the driver's seat. You are the one whose will needs to be determined. You must determine your own will. And that is where the strength of this gospel is going to begin to invade people's hearts and people's lives. I was talking to Jeff and Kate last night about the term to decide. The term CIDE is in several words: suicide, insecticide, fanticide, or infanticide. All of these words, and the word CIDE means death. DE means to undeath. You see, we have been given so strong a power of choice that all you have to do to get rid of the deadness that is in your life is to make a frickin' choice. Choose. Decide. Bring life back into your life rather than simply staying where you are. If you feel like life is warmed over death, then decide. Undead your life. Undeading your life doesn't come because God decided to do something for you. It's because you decided to do something for you. I better stop. I'm going to start preaching.
No, I could start speaking in tongues right now. This is Glenn Klein online. It is the Gospel Revolution, ladies and gentlemen. This is a revolution of thought, a revolution of behavior that is affected by thought. No way would we ever say that somebody's salvation or redemption is affected or verifies the gospel, but the gospel will affect your thought and your behavior. It doesn't validate the gospel in any way, shape, or form, but we'll talk about that momentarily. We're going to take a quick break. We've got a caller on the line. We've got Kate and Jeff Benham to get to. We've got lots to get to. We've got emails. It's a busy Wednesday night here on Glenn Klein Online on the Gospel Revolution Radio Network.
Folks, the world was not, quote, going to hell because of what the world did. The world was going to hell because of what somebody else did. The preaching of the gospel makes no one righteous. It reveals the righteousness that you already have. The reason the blood of Christ only covers transgressions under the First Testament is because that's the only place where transgression existed. Everyone has been made righteous. But you've got righteousness you didn't ask for, righteousness you didn't even believe for. You might say, well, I'm an atheist. Well, welcome. You're an atheist that's on your way to heaven. This is clear, sound doctrine in every Bible school that is on the face of this planet that teaches any form of Christianity.
The statements you just heard are from the Northern Midwest Conference in the teaching series, Spiritual Understanding, the Knowledge of God. James Pep Washburn writes, "Tonight was probably the most powerful presentation of the real gospel that I have ever heard. This is no exaggeration. The guy was absolutely firing on all cylinders tonight. He was in afterburner mode. No loose ends. Amazing." This 3-CD series is available for $24 plus shipping and handling, or in a downloadable audiobook for $12. Order your copy of the CDs or download at gospelrevolution.com today.
Well, that pregnant pause was not for dramatic effect, but we are glad to notify you again of the downloadable audiobooks that are available not only on the Upper Midwest Conference, the entire series on Romans Revealed is available at gospelrevolution.com. Take advantage of it. Please do. This is Glenn Klein online. It is Gospel Revolution Wednesday night, and we have online with us from beautiful Cape Coral, Florida, Alvin Cooper's online. Alvin!
Yes, I can hear you, Helen.
Hey, how are you, buddy?
Can y'all hear me?
Yeah, Alvin, how are you?
How's it going?
It's going well.
It is well with your soul?
Okay, I can barely get through. Let me see if I can turn my speakers up.
Yeah, you got to turn your computer off, buddy.
On my phone, and I can barely hear you, but I'll go with what I got.
All right.
I've got
say hello to Michael. What question or comment do you have tonight?
I got a ton of them, I guess. And why was,
we need your most important one. You can call back any time, but we need your biggest and most daunting question right now.
Well, the main thing, you know, it's just a wonderment, you know, having God in me and being in God, that is, it creates a ton that by itself I can sit down and try to puzzle that out in itself. And I've talked to Mike some about that. And of course, and then I think the ultimate, which we all seek and which we all wonder about is heaven. And of course, the opposite is hell too. The opposite of hell or the lack of heaven. Let's put it that way. Where is it? What is it? We're all very individual. Very much individualistic and to God's pleasure, I'm sure, and to each other's pleasure. It would be very boring if we were the same. So I guess that's something I would like to explore with you and with other people out there to talk about that.
Awesome.
Have people, you know, start thinking about that. Since we are in God and God is in us, where is heaven?
It's a fair question, Alvin. I'm going to ask you to listen on your computer for the answer. Michael's going to talk about it. And feel free to call in any time, okay?
Hey, Alvin, thank you for calling in, bud.
Thank you. And thank you for everything else, Michael.
All right, buddy.
Oh, you're welcome, Alvin.
Here's Alvin Cooper from Cape Coral, Florida. Michael, where's heaven?
I don't have a clue. The term heaven is used in the Bible, of course. The thing that we are there's a lot we'd love to know about life after this body ceases. But every indication that we have is that life does continue after this body ceases to exist. I don't know anything about heaven. There's nothing scriptural about John's visions of heaven. There's nothing scriptural about them at all. And of course we'd have to go back through the scriptural definition. Because those things just don't exist in the law, the Psalms, and the prophets. That just does not exist there. What we do understand is is being one with God. Now see, it's kind of hard for us to transpose our individuality into eternity. Because I like cheeseburgers, you like fish, you know, whatever. Is that... See, when we get to those things, it's like, what of us is going to be there? If what we're understanding, though, is correct, That would be like saying, well, my foot likes water, but my hand likes to reach for food. Which one's going to be, will they both be in heaven? Well, of course, because, see, we are all one. But this issue of oneness, we just have no concept of yet. We're grappling with it even as we speak on this very webcast. But this oneness that we have, that we're all one in God, you know, we have a fear of losing our individuality, and that's very understandable. But you see, whatever we are after this life is over with, I promise you that even in my ability to promise, I am sure whatever it is, it's not going to be boring. It's just not going to be that way. Even as this life is not boring, you know, you may like it, you may not like it, but this life is far from boring.
I think there's two things. First of all, for those of you who've been following this ministry and this webcast for a while, you know the definition of the scriptures is what we believe, what we know from the record, that Jesus and the disciples believed were scriptures, which was the law, the Psalms, and the prophets in the so-called Old Testament. So when Michael says that Paul's description of heaven was not scriptural, because it's nowhere in that body of work that they defined and that we agree with them are the scriptures. Having said that, we have absolutely no frickin' clue.
No.
What's in the future. And I think that that is very much in line with what is happening on Earth right now.
Absolutely.
Everybody can paint as dark a picture as they want about the future, or Michael, they can paint as beautiful a picture as they want about the future, but the truth is that nobody has any frickin' idea what is going to happen in the next 10 minutes. As I've often said, the last thing the people in the Twin Towers on September 11th, 2001 thought when they went to work that morning as they were going up the elevators that a jet airliner was going to land in their lap that morning.
Yeah. Yeah,
but
for
it
sure.
Happened. But it happened.
Yeah, so for us to, you know, and I think it's a very good analogy to make, Glenn, we don't even know what's going to happen in the next split second. Now,
yeah.
Since we're closer to it, we have some clue, but, you know, the next split second could be a life-changing ordeal in a next split second. We just don't know. And for us to try to figure out what eternity after this life where seconds exist, you see, you got to understand, seconds don't even exist there. All right, so I'm already beyond my brain capacity. I don't know about yours. But you take me to a place where even seconds do not exist. Minutes, hours, days do not exist. Well, I'm sorry, you're already beyond me, because I am trapped in a body right now with a brain that has everything about it has a beginning and an end. That's my brain, and and so for me to try to influence my brain about what eternity is going to be like, I just have to accept I don't know.
Yeah.
The thing that I'm confident of is the God in whom I have believed and who has believed in me and has proven he believes in me through the work of the cross. I mean, my goodness, how could anybody prove they believe in you more than what God did with his own son? He had to believe in us to do the work that he did at the cross, and seeing that magnitude of love and care and mercy and grace bestowed in such an act here on earth, I just can't imagine that the magnitude of that would be diminished by some means in a life after this one. So, you know, you can read books on it. There's a lot of people who, quote, have been there and, quote, came back. And of which, you know, at your own peril, believe them. But the fact is, we don't know. We don't know. I will never take anybody's answer. I don't care if somebody comes back and says, I was there for 4 weeks, and here's what happened on day one, day two, and we've actually had people that have done this. And but I'm sorry, your experience may be absolutely real, but I will never, ever base what I believe about God based on your experience. Never.
That's pretty definitive, ladies and gentlemen. This is Glenn Klein Online. That's Michael Williams. This is the Gospel Revolution. Just stay tuned. Stay logged on. Stay involved. Keep meditating it. Keep muttering it. Keep contemplating it. And we may get through the next couple of seconds here. We want to bring Jeff and Kate on now. They are visiting Michael and Jeff Robertson in Houston. They are our Gospel Revolution correspondents from Australia. They are poet laureates. They are musicians. They are brilliant, is what they are. And who do we have online? Do we have Kate with us?
Hey, yeah, it's me.
Kate!
Hey, Glenn.
Kate, I miss you.
I miss you, too.
But I know what you look like.
I know. I know what you look
like. All right, so,
like.
Kate. Kate and Jeff had a meeting with one of our other Gospel Revolution correspondents, Jackie Barnard.
Mm-hmm.
And I just got this email tonight. I have to read this before we begin. He says, and shortly after my visit with Jeff and Kate, these lines began to form in my mind, and I jotted them down. God said, rise and eat. Three times the repeat. Thrice Peter declined. For he had never dined on what he was in the sheet. At last he did obey, and Peter learned that day, no longer deceived, God had all received, and no one has to pay. Now men were at his gate, those very things he ate. But Peter had just learned no creature had been spurned. No one was left behind, only in their minds. All are one with us. He became sin, and we became righteous. So we were also versed, the different means accursed. Yet God made the arrangement and ended all estrangement. No sin, no sinner, everyone a winner, no longer unclean, just like Peter's dinner.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That was the inspiration that Jackie Barnard had upon his meeting with Jeff and Kate Benham.
I believe it.
We had a lovely night together. We took a little break from recording there. Jackie came down and met us in Nashville just outside the studio. He sat in on a little bit of what the guys were doing there. We were just mixing and stuff at that stage. And yeah, we went out for dinner and had a great time together. And he's an awesome man, lovely, lovely person. And we're just so blessed and just so glad that he would take that trouble to come and meet us.
That is fantastic. Speaking of poetry, we have another poem that has been put to music that we want to listen to now that you recorded on your recent trip to the America's country capital,
mm-hmm.
Nashville. And we're going to listen to the song now. How would you describe this song, Kate? What's it about? What was the inspiration for it?
Right. I think in the gospel and in the knowledge of the gospel, religion teaches us to see two, teaches us to see good and evil. And that's where all the problem is. That's where all the mental illness comes in. That's where all the deception comes in, because Jesus Christ said, we are one, and he made the world one. So that was the basis for this song, that I've never felt like this before. I can't see evil anymore. Now, the spirit of life is my law. Is this what I've been waiting for? Because it really, really is. And one of the lines in there, someone apocalypsed me. I think I mentioned that last week on the
became the title of last week's webcast on the archive.
Yeah, so it is a great number, and actually I'd written it as a kind of a swing tune, and just when they were, which is similar to the first track on my first album, And the drummer there, Barry Wayne, just had a really great idea and said, let's do this as a straight eight. So it just turned so rocky. And I think it's just a great, it's the first track on the new album, and it is so powerful. And just to be there with the guys this time, you know, last time I wasn't with them, they recorded their bit in Nashville and I sang in Australia. So just to be there with them was an amazing dynamic. And the whole album is just so much a step up from the last one. And I'm just so, so happy with how it has turned out, and I just hope that it just blesses so many people.
Oh, I'm sure it will. You know, hearing Kate Michael say that, you know, it's a step up from the last one.
Yeah.
During our conversation during the early part of the webcast, we were talking about the whole concept of the humanity that now exists being a new creation, and that literally the old man, Adam, that the initial race literally does not exist anymore. Mm. When the commercial came on, and I started listening to your words again, as I have been for about 15 years now or more, I was a little apprehensive. I was like, I wonder if this is going to line up with what we just talked about. Fortunately, it did very much so, but and I think much of, in fact, most, if not all, of what's been taught does line up. But we're going deeper, and as Kate says, it's a step up. That's what we're doing with this grace message, this gospel revolution. So let's check out Kate's song. What's this entitled, Kate?
Well, this was originally called Welcome to Freedom, because that's just how I feel. And one of the lines is, I would have sworn I was free before, but this is what I've been waiting for. But I may change it to Someone Apocalypsed Me, because
we may have to take a poll based on the
All right, let's have a
right
poll.
Now. All right, yeah. So this is either, either Someone
Welcome
Apocalypsed
to Freedom
Me or...
Or Welcome to Freedom.
Our Welcome to Freedom. You mm-hmm. vote, ladies and gentlemen, at gospelrevolution.com. Let's listen to Kate Benham on her most latest production that was just recorded in Nashville last week.
bringing freedom to everything bound. It's bringing everyone and everything in. Is this the fountain of youth I have found? It is the river of grace I'm in. Drink and know that you are okay. And know that you and God have always been one. Knowledge has passed away. Now that truth has come. I never felt like this before. Can't see evil anymore. Now the spirit of life is my law. Is this what I've been waiting for? I hear, welcome to freedom. Welcome to freedom. Well, I would have sworn I was free before, but this is what I've been waiting for. Welcome to freedom. This is what I've been waiting for, what I've been waiting for.
That's Kate Benham. You've got a tune to the Gospel Revolution Radio Network on a Wednesday night. This is Glenn Klein. That's how DJs talk, you know. They talk that way in Australia?
Yeah, they do. Not quite as good as that. You're good at that, Glenn.
No, you got to call Welcome to Freedom. I never heard it before.
Yeah, sure.
No, it's Welcome to Freedom. Welcome to Freedom, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, yeah.
This is the Gospel Revolution webcast. We've got Kate Benham online from Australia. Actually, she's in Houston right now at the home offices of the Gospel Revolution. Michael Williams, what did you mean? Now, we understand somewhat what you mean by Welcome to Freedom, but what was your thought process when you wrote the line, someone apocalypsed me?
Right. I guess all that stuff that we look at as being futuristic all happened at the cross. So someone apocalypsed me, and I just wanted to leave it open. You know, Jesus redeemed the human race at the cross, and when I realized that, that's when it was activated in me. Someone apocalypsed me, and that brought me freedom.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah, Michael, that was the apocalypse. That's what, as you so eloquently taught in the past, the day of the Lord that John saw, which was not on the Isle of Patmos, it was literally him visualizing the cross and what would have been the lot of humanity if Jesus would not have taken God's judgment at the cross in Jerusalem over 2,000 years ago. Someone did apocalypse us. He took the apocalypse for us.
Absolutely. It was the apocalypse. The cross was the apocalypse that that everyone is still waiting for, and now we've got 2012 waiting again for the apocalypse. And once again, let us boldly proclaim, as no man is willing to do, 2012 will come and go. We will still be here. And I know that for an absolute fact. I do not have to draw any punches. I don't have to withhold my opinion to wait and see. There is no wait and see. I can take you through more than two dozen sites in the scriptures where God said that he created this heaven and this earth, and it will never be destroyed. And the scriptures is where we turn for the validation of whether or not something is truth. And I'm sorry, but I cannot go against scriptures. I cannot. I will not go against scriptures.
You could go against scripture. You just choose not to.
I will not. I choose not to go against scripture. And the scriptures are clear. This is God's domain. This is what God did. And what God did will never be destroyed. And I can say that in the face of Al Gore. I can say that in the face of the church. This planet will never be destroyed.
Yes, 2012 will come and go, and we will still be here, and some of us will be queer. Get over it. This is Glenn Klein Online. We're talking with Michael Williams and Kate Benham on this Wednesday night. Kate, Welcome to Freedom. It's got to be Welcome to Freedom.
I think so.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
wonderful line in it about the apocalypse, but it does seem that Welcome to Freedom
exactly.
is it.
Exactly. Yeah. I think so, too.
I have to vote for Welcome to Freedom.
All righty.
All right. So it's unanimous, ladies and gentlemen. See,
that's unanimous.
We have a Republic representation
unanimous
here.
Between the three of us.
What, Kate?
Mm-hmm.
What did you say?
I'm sorry. I just said that's unanimous then between the three of us.
Right. That's the Republican
okay.
representation here. All right. Well, we need to talk to Jeff, and can't wait to see you down there, and continue to enjoy your time.
Exactly. Love to see you again. All right, here's
and,
Jeffrey. I'll put you on.
Love you. Thank you
love
for everything
you.
You're doing.
Bye.
Thanks, Kate.
Thanks.
There is a very lovely and talented...
Hello there.
Oh, look how quickly she turns over the microphone to Jeff Benham. Jeff!
How you going, Glenn?
Jeff,
hey, I really like what Mike said before about all are made alive, that it was that... As in Adam, all die, and in Christ, all are made alive. And whatever we think doesn't limit who we are in Christ.
Yeah.
We're not limited by who he is, and who he is who we are. And we can't limit it. If we think we're not, it doesn't make any difference, because who we are is who he is, and it's just fantastic. And I always think, that we try and... we can't resurrect an old Adam. He's dead.
Yeah.
We have psychology, we have... inner healing and all this other rubbish, but you can't resurrect a dead man. He's gone. Goodbye. Wave goodbye to him, everyone.
Bye-bye.
The prophecy. God
and we shouldn't even try, because...
Adam, Michael, when he said, if you partake of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, surely you will die.
Mm. Yeah.
Now, we thought he was talking about Adam.
He's talking about the human race.
Yeah,
but he was talking about so much more than that, because Adam did not die, for 700
that's right.
plus years.
Yeah, no, he was talking
about. I'm sure there were people like at year 365 that said, "Oh, God's prophecy didn't come true."
Yeah,
God is a liar. Let every man be a liar.
No,
but God's
word
is not true.
I think that's exactly right, Glenn. When God spoke that to Adam. He was speaking to the entire species of the mankind, that mankind would die if mankind partook of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The fulfillment of that, as the fulfillment of all Scripture is, it's not about an individual Adam. This is about Christ.
Mm.
So when he told Adam, in the day that you eat thereof, you will surely die, that fulfillment of that prophecy took place 2,000 years ago when the entire Adamic race died.
Mm.
And Jesus took it and nailed not only the sin, the law, but the man, the human race that was under this. We just don't have a concept yet of the power. This is not the law was taken off of us, sin was taken off of us. It was not just the law and sin. The man who existed that the law and sin was over is dead. Gone. A species was wiped off the face of this earth 2,000 years ago. And the knowledge of this new creation, however it has come and been birthed into the light of generations past, I don't know. But we have a wonderful opportunity to present this new creation and to describe this new creation, because it is real. We are not in, we are no longer in that third tier of creation. We have been recreated, and now are God himself seated in heavenly places. As Jesus quoted the Psalms, ye are gods. We have come to that place. And what does it mean to be a God? It means that you are in charge of your life. That's what it means. You're not in charge of somebody else's life. You're in charge of your own. Take charge. You've been given self-control. You've been given all the fruit of the Spirit. We are in this existence, in your life, You are the God over your life because God has made you that, because there's no difference between you and God. And as people begin to embrace the reality of the God in their life, the God in your life is you. Make your decisions. Make your choices. Set your sails. Begin to take responsibility for your life. Stop blaming grandpa and grandma. Stop blaming mom and dad. Stop blaming your children. Stop blaming everybody else. Take charge over your life and set your sails. Where do you want to go? Now, we sit back and say, well, we want God to show us. We want God to do this. We want God to do that. Well, if what I'm saying to you is correct, and it's subject to examination, but if what I'm saying to you is correct, the only way you're going to see that is when you decide, when you set your will, when you set where you're going. That is God taking control over your life.
Yeah, I agree with that, because insanity has deceased.
Yeah.
And we live in wholeness. And that's who we are. We're nothing less than Him.
Yes.
It's the most beautiful thing. We are a life-giving spirit. And we try and resurrect Adam, he is dead. He's no use. We'd have to empty out all, we should be emptying out all the Christian bookshops and all the psychology bookshops.
Yeah.
And the whole thing, because what we have inside us is the most powerful and potential thing within us. And it's in every individual, there's no difference.
I think that not only is that reality a powerful thought and truth, but how much more would we be affected by realizing that same God is in every other human being?
Absolutely.
Exactly, yes.
Yep. And see, this is not a self-help message, ladies and gentlemen. We recognize and acknowledge, as we talked about in this very webcast, that we don't know what's going to happen in the next 10 seconds. We don't know what's going to happen in the next second. But this we do know, that this second has gone by and we're still here. So now what are you going to do with the next second and the next minute and the next 10 minutes? Based on knowing your oneness with God, your perfection in front of God Almighty, your perfection with the rest of the race, and the perfection of everybody else that you know about.
Yeah.
Both historical figures, people like Barack Obama, people like Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, people like Jeff Benham, people like Michael Williams. What are you going to do with all that?
Yeah.
Make your decision. God is not waiting to see what you're going to do so that he can break through the clouds and get through to heaven somehow, or from heaven, to produce his will in your life. His will has been accomplished at the cross. Case closed. End of discussion.
Exactly.
Now, we have a vote, and this is kind of the Supreme Court of the Gospel Revolution Republic. This comes in from Richard Mull, Michael, and Jeff and Kate, heads up. Richard, the Supreme Court Justice of the Gospel Revolution, says, I vote for Welcome to Freedom.
There you go.
As the title of Kate's song. And then he says, go Jesus. Richard Mull. Wait till you meet Richard Mull, Jeff.
Can't wait.
Is one. You know how they say when God makes a certain person, he threw away the mold? When God made Richard Mull, there was no more mold.
That is true.
I love it. This is Glenn Klein Online. We're going overtime. We got Jeff Benham from Australia. He is in the home office of the Gospel Revolution, Michael Williams. Now, I cannot remember in 4 years, maybe certainly less than a handful of times, Michael said that he wanted to deal with a particular email that came through that he happened to see. But this email came through this week from our precious sister in Spokane, Washington, Tressa Martin.
Yeah.
And, Jeff, I want to get your take on this, too.
Yep.
Okay? Jeff?
I am.
Okay, I'm going to read this email.
Yes.
So I definitely want to get your perspective on it as well. She says, "Hi, Michael. I had a question." This is a little long, so just bear with me.
No, it's fine. Let's read it. Yeah.
"I had a question about your answer to a question on the show 3 or so weeks ago. It was an email, I believe, and the gentleman asked a question about Jesus' statement, 'The narrow way, and few find it,' and he asked what that means in the frame of fulfilled redemption. You didn't seem to answer his question, but went on to say that all of Jesus' statements are not applicable to us today, because he was just saying those things to show us we could not keep the law. He did and applied it to us, so they are not binding to us. I don't know if I am paraphrasing your thoughts or your words correctly, but I am close. I also had this discussion with Geo Howell when he posted the 'Why I am no longer a Christian' on his Facebook site. I will post my question to him here. That is the part I don't fully understand, Geo. I was going to ask Mike, but since you and I are here now, may I ask you? I can't believe that everything Jesus said was only to prove we couldn't keep the law. Yes, maybe a lot of it, what he said, but all? When someone called in or emailed, I can't remember, the show and asked about the statement Jesus made about the narrow way and the few that will pursue it, Michael didn't answer the question, but said he just said what you said. I have to believe that the things that Jesus said still have instruction for us today. It bothers me to just was all his words away. It doesn't make any sense. It bothers me, I'm going to say, to throw all his words away into one fell swoop in the bin of, I was just messing with you, fulfilled it all, now you don't have to mind what I said those 3 years. Do you know what I mean? Help me understand this, please. I would greatly appreciate to understand this. Thanks." And as I said, that was from Tressa Martin from Spokane. So that was a very thoughtful, not surprising, email from Tressa. What do you think, Michael?
Well, first off, let me thank you, Tressa, for holding our feet to the fire on
this. Yeah, she was doing my job for me. I appreciate that, Tressa.
Absolutely. And whether it's me or Glenn or how that we responded to that, because we were both responding to that, is just virtually irrelevant. The fact of it is that you are 100% correct. The answer to the question was skirted. So not with any intent, but it was skirted. You were very perceptive in seeing that. And the question was about directly about those particular verses about narrow is the way and few there be that find it. I can tell you what I've heard from others and what I think it might be. But, Tressa, you know how adverse I am to that. Now, we can go through and we can poll the audience even and ask people to send in what their perception of it is, and we may get something. I have never gotten a clarity on this. That doesn't mean that somebody doesn't. Believe me, I've been learning a lot from this week as we've all visited here at my home and here in the office. I've learned a tremendous amount, so there's plenty of understanding out there. But see, I would be less than absolutely genuine with you, and I would be disingenuous with you to try to answer the question. So I do want to answer it in this way. I don't know what he meant. One thing that I enjoy, and I think, Tressa, you know this about me, is that if I can see something, I am more than willing to speak up about it. But I'm also not afraid to say, I literally don't know. But you are correct, Tressa. There, the things that Jesus said, it's not that they are instructions for us today, but there is understanding in what Jesus said for us today. There would be understanding in everything Jesus said that is for our understanding today. I don't believe there's any instruction for us from Jesus' teachings, as like for how to live life and things like that. But there is revelation. There is understanding. Obviously, I believe that. And it's been just like the other things as we've gone down this road, is that we wait. You know, I've waited for 10 years for understanding on something. I would rather wait for 50 years than to proclaim something that I absolutely know in my heart. These are opinions that I've heard. These are things that I have said even myself. But here is the bottom line. I don't know.
But would it be fair to say, at least in the human experience since the cross, based on history and our understanding, that the narrow way could have been the only way that God could have produced and did produce redemption, which was through Christ, and that few will understand that? I mean, right now, compared to the people that are living and have lived since the cross, only a few people have understood the full redemption of the entire planet and have manifested and articulated it, certainly have made a lifelong effort at it. Would that not be a fair interpretation of that message?
It's fair. However, I believe that the whole planet is going to understand this in some form in times to come. I believe it was designed for the human race to understand it, but we're just having to go through the process that leads there. The only thing that I don't like about that is that it makes it a personal thing. It's about us,
right,
those who
right.
have understood the gospel. So mm-hmm. that I don't like about it. But is it a possibility? Yeah, it's a possibility.
Okay.
Jeff, you got any thoughts on it?
Yeah, I have, because we know there's six things that happened at Calvary, and that was that in Adam we were crucified, then buried, full stop. In Christ we were quickened, raised, and seated. And when I used to do the old types and shadows, I used to teach the tabernacle. And that we used to use, you know, go how that the priest went through the outer court and the holy place and the holiest. And if you look at it, it was a certain height and it was a certain width, but it came down to a triangle, and there was a point of the triangle which was the curtain, the veil. But, you know, the height went up. And I always see that narrow way. It became a narrow way, but what he brought us was into a heavenly place that we could never, ever do in our own way. Adam could never, ever become a quickening spirit. He was a living soul. And so when we look at the tabernacle, it went into that narrow way, but become and brought a touch. It was I think it was double the height of the outer court. And I've always seen that as well. He brought that. He did that. He brought the whole world into a place of ascension, into a place of quickening, into a place of being raised together with him. And that's how I see the narrow way. It's just a shadow and a type. But what a wonderful thing. It wasn't there. It was the act of one man that brought a whole lot of people. And that's why it says, if you then be risen with Christ, start living it.
Yeah.
Start moving in it. That's who you are. We're nothing less than Christ. And that's just how I see the narrow way.
Yeah, you know, there's another analogy here, too, and that is, you know, when it says that many became, that all were made sinners, and it says many are made righteous, we know that the context of that is that all are made righteous.
Mm.
So here's a possibility. Could it be saying, when he said few, if many means all, could in this situation, and this is just grappling around with this, it's not coming to any conclusions on my part, could few mean one?
Mm.
And the only one who did make it through that narrow way was Jesus, and Jesus had us all in him when he went through that narrow way. I don't know, but the one thing that I tell you that I do know, based on the gospel, is that this has nothing to do with how many people are going who are going to make it to heaven. I don't think it has anything to do with how many people are going to understand this.
Mm.
Because I think it is ascribed in the long term that whether it's this 100 years, the next 100 years, the next 500 years, 1,000 years, we now live in a world where evangelical Christianity and other religions have invaded the thought process and the social structure and the political structure of our lives. We can't imagine that being brought down. But you see, we have to set our sights a little higher, that if this gospel is true, that there could become a time where that the entire planet would understand this. This won't be, and it won't be people running around saying hallelujah Jesus, but an understanding, just like the way our political system is run and our social system doesn't mean everybody's running around saying, you know, we all vote for religion. It's just a permeated thought that is there. So,
right, like for example, let's bring it down to a practical element. In most civilized Western cultures, the vast majority of people, perhaps 99%, which is, I mean, a huge majority, if right. not 100% of people, would say to keep people enslaved is wrong.
Yeah.
That didn't always happen.
No, that's exactly right.
Now,
so you see these
there's
concepts.
Some people that might be persuaded the other way for a
yeah.
second. And obviously, it's not 100% in all cultures, because we know that even in Western cultures, even in the United States of America and Australia, there are still people being enslaved. Having said that, that's the kind of influence that we believe the gospel
yeah.
is going to have and is having as we speak.
That.
Having
yeah.
said that, though, Michael, the other words of Jesus that are sometimes universally, at least in certain cultures, taken as lessons of life for us personally, or instructions, as Tressa said, what do you do with those?
Well, I don't believe any of them are instructions. I think, again, I think there's revelation in them. There's understanding in many different facets, but there is not. You see, Jesus can't give an instruction for life if he is life. He would be denying himself if he gave us instructions for life when he himself is it. He would be denying himself if he showed us the way when he is the way. He would be denying himself if he was trying to show us truth when he himself is the truth.
Mm.
So here is, here's the thing, folks. You know, a lot of people learned gospel of peace and gospel of grace and said, bye-bye, I'm gone. What a foolish place to depart. We're just now starting to learn. We just now got the foundation in place to understand things that are so monumental about life and about living and about ourselves and about each other. We all departed, a lot of people departed way too quickly and went to even other doctrines such as our, you know, my friend Carlton Pearson, who I utterly, totally disagree with him in his stance that he has taken. And but here's the thing. If this gospel is true, we've got to understand that we've only discovered the foundation of this thing. As far as how it extrapolates into the minds and the emotions, number one, just individually, much less collectively, and much less as a society, and much less as a world, that we are going to see the effect of this take place. I am still being amazed, absolutely, utterly amazed at what the gospel is doing in my heart personally, much less thinking I understand what it's going to do and has the ability to do socially, collectively. But I think all of those things are there, and as we share this gospel more and more and more, let me tell you the most important thing you will ever, ever say in your pursuit of truth is, I don't know. Now, if you do know, speak up. If you got an opinion, speak up. If we think it might be this way, let's talk about it. But until I don't care whether it's what Jesus said or what anybody said, if it is not an understanding of, as Jeff Benham so eloquently speaks, There's a solid wall at the cross, and it all died there. So if all of that doesn't give us a revelation of this new creation, of this new life, then it is worthless to us. But you see, I believe all of it does give us a revelation.
I also think that it would be fair to say that if anything that you would take as a revelation from the words of Jesus, or as Tressa talked about instruction, if in any way, shape, or form your interpretation of that passage in the New Testament writings brings any form of guilt or condemnation or judgment in your heart towards yourself or other people, that's not the gospel.
Mm. I said to the people once, you know, we had a group for a while there till they really knew who they were, and I said, well, you're home. And to everyone, you're home. Let's have a look around it.
Yeah.
You know, and that's where home. And that's where home. We're home in Him.
Yeah.
And that's the most beautiful thing, you know, when you go on a long journey and you finally get home, you're really tired, and you sit in your favorite chair, and you just sit back and you go, ah, well, that's where we're at. Now it's time to see how beautiful that house is, how beautiful that the people that we are with is, how beautiful this world is. How, you know, smell the roses. There's so much that is there for us. This is the most exciting and most incredible place that we've been given in Christ. And I reckon it's just opening up. The doors are open up for us to walk in.
Yeah.
It's incredible. And the relationships, you know, just being... meeting you guys and meeting everyone around, even if you've got to fall over Mike Williams' boots and the 44-gallon sippy can of of young Jeff Robertson. But, you know, it's beautiful. It's something. And when we met Jackie and we met Glenn and everyone, there's something that just clicked inside us and we found friends. You know, folks, that's the most important thing, is friends. And it's friends because we're friends in Him. Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah.
We're not trying. We haven't got an angle that we're trying to form some religion or form thing. All we want to do is open the door and see how beautiful you are in your own heart first. And then when you see how beautiful you are in your own heart, then you'll see how beautiful everyone else is. And that's so wonderful.
It is.
So
wonderful.
Good.
Yeah. So, Tressa, here's the thing, dear. You got my response to this. So, when you get the understanding of this, you call and let us know, okay? Because it could be your heart that can understand it, where my heart can't at this point. So, you know, keep your heart and your mind open. When you run into things like this, hun, just remember sometimes we have to wait a long time for understanding to break through our former way of thinking. And I think all of this is fairly simple. But let me tell you something. We still have religious ways that are embedded in our brain subconsciously, the way that our brain has been trained to act and react, which we're dependent on the gospel to completely rewire our brains. Let me tell you, I am absolutely depending on the gospel to rewire my brain. It has been doing it. I can tell you, I absolutely am convinced, not just my heart, my emotions, and my feelings have been rearranged and distributed and contained and made whole in so many ways, and still needs a lot of influence in that area, I am sure.
Oh, we lost somebody there.
I'm here.
What happened, Seanage? We got a deadline on one of the lines.
I'm here.
Hang up. Somebody hang up.
I'll hang up.
Bye, guys. No, Jeff, don't go anywhere.
Yeah, okay. It's okay now. Whatever that was, it was not anyone's doings.
All right, well, listen. You guys got a couple more minutes left in you? I'll take that as an affirmative. I'm going to ask Sean to cue up Kate's song one more time. This has not been released, ladies and gentlemen, yet. The album has not been duplicated yet. It's been recorded in Nashville, and it'll be available to you. But this is the one song that we do have queued up. And the Pope spoke tonight. Richard Mull said, welcome to freedom.
There you go.
So let's listen to Kate's latest effort from the studios in Nashville. This is called Welcome to Freedom here on the Gospel Revolution Radio Network.
In that twinkling of my eye, I was changed. Sure was hard in that lake of fire where my soul got rearranged. Bubbling liquid gold, I saw precious perfection within. I'm breaking out of the mold through the cracking of my skin.
Tears twice tonight, you know, just here to myself, and there's no way, and it's not just Kate's song, and but it's having Kate and Jeff here in my home. I, you know, as I was listening to her song first, my mind actually flashed back over the last several years, and I am so honored to have them here in my home, and my mind flashed back over the times that I was existing in, you know, somebody else's bedroom, you know, a car filled with the most basic of things, going someplace that I didn't even know, didn't have the gas money to get to the next place, to find somebody else's bedroom to stay in, a spare bedroom to stay in. And here I am, you know, I feel like the wealthiest man on the face of the earth. To hear these words saying back to me, that the words that took me into absolute obscurity, you got to understand, the words that Kate is singing so wonderfully and with such talent and such force in her voice, there's much of this are the things that she's singing are the things that drove me into absolute obscurity. And I don't know what to say. I'm sorry, I don't know what to
say. Well, no, you've said it quite well, and I understand. Jeff, you still with us?
Jeff has gone, and he says goodbye, but I'm here.
Oh!
I'm back.
We Thank have you, the mm-hmm. author of that beauty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kate, that's just absolutely great stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And how many songs do you have in your heart?
Well, we're writing as well for the next one, so I have about 5 tracks down ready for the next one. So we are planning on coming back in 6 months and doing the next one and spending some time here and traveling around. So we love it here. Honestly, this is only our 2nd time to the States, but this time it just felt like home. And just when we got off the plane, I don't know, we're going to be spending a lot of time here, and I'm so glad because we have loved every second of this, and I'm going to be so sad to leave here.
Yeah.
I tell you what, I'm going to be crying.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's not the only people that will be crying in the near future, I'm sure.
Yeah, that's
fantastic
true.
Stuff. It does touch the emotions. It does touch the heart, the soul. I actually am on my way to Houston tomorrow. Shocking as that is.
Yeah.
Kate and Jeff were just here, as I said earlier in the program, in Tampa Bay. And by the way, if you haven't checked out Kate's Facebook, just Kate Benham, BenHam, on Facebook, you'll see Sean O'Halloran. I loved the quote that you had about Sean. I don't know if you've seen that picture yet, but it's incredible to put faces with the names and the thoughts and the phone calls and the emails. And this is what the webcast does. This is what the Gospel Revolution conventions do. This is what our ultimate goal is as Jeff was talking about earlier, knitting these friends that have already come together because their hearts are already one, but putting them in front of each other. And the gospel that has been coming out of your conversations, Michael, with Jeff and Kate and Jeff Robertson there, those need to be recorded. They will be recorded, won't they?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think that we should have just made the house a sound booth, and there should have been recording going on 24 hours. It has been amazing, no doubt. And you know, any combination of us are talking at some time. You know, night before last, I went to bed, and I think that Jeff and Kate sat up until who knows when, And then last night Jeff went to bed, and me and Jeff and Kate sat up, you know, until an unheard of. And anybody that knows me knows this is completely unheard of. I mean, completely. We were up until 3 a.m. And that does not happen in my life for any reason. It just does not happen. And you know, and of course everybody shocked at the time that it passed, but. You know, it's a fellowship of hearts and a joy that truly is unspeakable. I cannot tell you, Kate, what you guys both being here means to me, and it means more every minute that I spend with you. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. We feel the same way too. It's surreal being with you.
We just need to add another bedroom on the house, and that's all.
I want to move in. I love it here.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. Well, that is going to do it for this evening. We want to thank Jeff and Kate Benham for joining us and for doing everything that they're doing, and more importantly, thanking them for being who they are. I can't wait to see you guys. Hope I make it. Be headed out tomorrow with my son Jake, and you're in for a treat to meet Jacob Klein, I'll tell you that right now.
For sure.
That is one unique cat that I can say without fear of contradiction.
Yeah.
Michael, thank you. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Glenn, so much to you and Sean both.
Yeah, I love you.
Love you too.
It's a historical night, ladies and gentlemen, on so many levels. Hope you enjoyed the program. Sean O'Halloran is the engineer and producer of this production. Jeff Robertson, the administrator of the Gospel the Revolution. And until next time, this is Glenn Klein Online saying, Shalom, everybody.